What's up, everyone? Welcome back to Dropping Dimes, the show where we talk about all things basketball. I'm your host, Rodrigo, but you can call me Rod. And I am thrilled to be joined again by this very two fine gentleman. Here's Mr. Taple Double. Tay, how you doing?
I'm doing fantastic, man. It's been a fun weekend that we just got off of. I'm sure we're going to recap that. And looking forward to some basketball, man. I've been watching WNBA, which is fun. But I'm ready for this finals matchup, man. I'm ready.
Oh, yeah. It's finally here. It's finals time. But also joining us, it is the man himself, the unofficial mayor of Wade County, and the king of Kentucky, Blake. How are you?
I'm good, fellas. I'm glad to be here. Like Tay, I'm so excited. You know, we got NBA finals this week. So been a bit of a lull over the past few days sports-wise. So like Tay, been WNBA Champions League final last weekend. So I'm ready for this NBA finals. I'm looking forward to it.
I mean, let's not waste any time. Let's just dive right into it, fellas. It is the Dallas Mavericks and the Boston Celtics. I can't believe I actually said that out loud. The team in green, they're facing each other starting on June 6th, first game in Boston. Guys, it's been quite the playoffs, and we're finally here. So right out of the gate, what do you think of this series? Boston, obviously, I think the more on paper dominant team. However, arguably the team that got it the easiest path to the finals against this pesky Dallas Mavericks team that honestly ended up being so fun to watch. Spoiler alert, who I'm supporting, but you know, Blake, let me start with you. What's your take on this final series?
So first off, I just want to say I'm super excited just for this matchup between the Mavs and Celtics. Like, it's one that, you know, on paper is very appealing, but just it's a great storyline behind it as well too. I mean, just Luka, Kyrie, how the Mavs have really just gelled throughout the season and kind of, you know, that debate, are they the best backcourt duo, you know, in the NBA at the moment as well too. And obviously, you know, the Celtics, who are obviously the best record in the NBA throughout the season as well too. But, you know, Mini said, and, you know, easiest road possibly to the NBA finals. I'm looking forward to this. I think it's going to be a great matchup personally between both teams as well too. I mean, you kind of look back in the regular season between the two games. I mean, the Celtics did sweep the Mavs both games, and the last one, early March with, you know, PJ Washington, Daniel Gafford. Again, this is after the trade deadline. Beat him at 28 points, you know, kind of at home with Kyrie and Luka both playing that game as well, too. But again, you know, the way the Mavs have kind of been playing throughout this playoffs, I think it's just been incredible. And many people may say that about the Celtics because of the sweeps or the, you know, 4-1 series wins. But, I mean, just the way that the Mavs, I feel like, especially in the Minnesota series, just kind of started taking over kind of through there. And they were quite dominant, especially kind of looking those final four games and the way they were going. And I think the momentum that they have going into this series, I think, is really going to kind of catapult them quite a bit too. So I'm excited. Obviously, Kyrie back in Boston. I mean, what player do they hate more than Kyrie Irving in Boston? So, I mean,
I can't wait for the media coverage
alone within that.
Yeah.
Oh, it's going to be incredible throughout that too. And I think that really, you know, builds it up a bit. But, you know, me personally, I do have, you know, the Dallas Mavs here. Shout out, you know, Jason Kidd, you know, jersey here too. I see the Mavs in, actually, I think it's going to go 7, to be honest. And I think they'll pull it off on the road in Boston, game 7. So.
Okay. Thank you, Blake. Tate, I know you're the president of the Jaylen Brown doesn't have a left hand club. You're the president and number one member, but what you got for this final series?
Well, I'm also the president of the Daniel Gafford and PJ Washington trades were fantastic trades for the franchise that ultimately catapulted them into the finals berth. But to be honest, I'm incredibly excited for this finals matchup. I think it's a bit of a dichotomy between the two conferences here, where the Celtics have had a relatively easy walk to the finals. No disrespect, Knicks. No disrespect, Pacers. But you know, no OG Anunoby, no Tyrese Haliburton, who is better than Jaylen Brown for half the series. You know, they didn't have to face Jimmy Butler. They didn't have to face Giannis. They didn't have to face Embiid. So they're going up against their biggest test of the playoffs, which you know, that might be a positive where they're coming in fresh and feeling good and they've got lots of positivity. They only lost two or three times. But it may also be a negative. Whereas on the other side of it, we see the Mavericks have had a pretty hard road to the finals. You know, obviously knocking off the Timberwolves, who look like an incredibly good team, a real contender that snuck up on us this year that no one was really counting to be a top three finisher in the West. Number one defense in the league. But they've had a bit of a tougher road. So it's going to be an interesting battle just to see where these teams are left off at. How's Luka's knee? How's Kristaps Porzingis? Is everyone going to be healthy and ready to go? I know Luka said today that his knee hasn't gotten any better, but it hasn't gotten any worse. So I'm excited for this matchup, man. I think anytime you get like some new teams in the finals, it's always an exciting thing. It's a good thing for the league. And this is where Luka Doncic shines. He is a playoff performer, as good of a playoff performer as we have in the NBA. And I just can't wait to see that backcourt duo. And I can't wait to see the chess match in between the coaching staff. And, you know, they've got all these wing defenders, all these guard defenders on the Celtics. And, you know, the Mavs haven't, you know, they went against the Timberwolves, who had the number two ranked defense in the league. But not as switchable as the Celtics can be, right? With throwing Jaylen Brown, Jason Tatum, Derek White, Drew Holiday, best defender to never win Defensive Player of the Year. So I think there's a lot of questions. We're going to see a lot of different games. It's not going to be the same game over and over again. So I'm excited, man.
To be entirely honest, you know, again, my Lakers are not in. I have no horse in this race other than I don't want the Boston Celtics to win. That's the darkest timeline. We're already living in it. And the duo that is stopping us from, you know, this basketball apocalypse is Kyrie Irving and Luka Doncic. Having said that, and, you know, this morning on my way to work, I was just trying to read as many things as I could or just breeze through them. I have to admit, it seems like, you know, the basketball pundits, one of the ones that stuck to me the most was Tom Ziller from, and he's got a great newsletter called Good Morning, It's Basketball. If anyone doesn't subscribe, I highly recommend it. But he mm-hmm. says how for him, it's almost a clean sweep for the Celtics. And reading it, I was just like, oh my God, am I getting convinced now that the Celtics are actually going to win it all? And to play my own devil's advocate, I mean, they are a better team than they were the last time they went to the finals, for sure. They upgraded the backcourt and added Drew Holiday. You said it's a best defensive player to never win Defensive Player of the Year. And that's where I worry about the Mavs. You know, obviously, Doncic and Kyrie, they're not going to have a problem scoring the ball. But if they do, and we saw that, that was the one game that the Timberwolves stole from them. That was the night where they were not, you know, click shots were just not falling, period. For they had a slow start, and even then they sort of brought it back and they made it a game. But I do worry that Drew Holiday will be an X factor in guarding those two, and they're gonna let everyone else try to beat them. You know, let PJ Washington, let Daniel Gafford, let Derek Lively, anyone that is not Doncic or Kyrie beat them. And that's what I really worries
I agree.
Me.
Yeah, I think, you know, in terms of the way that the matchup shakes out, because they're so switchable, I think a big part of Dallas's offense has been getting those corner threes open. Obviously, Luka's one of the craftiest passers in the league and table setters, and Kyrie can bend the defense and get in the paint at will, finish with both hands and kick it out if he needs to. So they generate a ton of corner threes. Where on the other side of it, Boston gives up the least amount of corner threes. So there's a few nuances in the game here where I'm really curious to see which team kind of wins out, right? Mm. It'll be a little bit of a battle where PJ Washington's going to try and shake free in the corner. We're going to see Derek Jones Jr. probably take some threes that I hold my breath on as a Blazers fan, but he's been making them, so I can't really say too much. But I think I don't think it's going to be a clean sweep. I think that's a little silly, and that's a little disrespectful to how good of a playoff series or a playoff year that the Mavericks have had. Number one offense in the league since the trade deadline, number two defense in the league since the trade deadline. That's not an accident, right? It's not a small sample size anymore if we include all of the playoffs. I don't think that, you know, I think it's a bit understated that the pressure is on Boston. Like, this is their year. Everyone was picking Boston coming into the year. You have an absolutely loaded roster. I can't even really think of a way to improve this roster anymore, aside from maybe adding some depth pieces, if they have the money for it. But yeah, I think it's gonna be six minimum, and maybe seven.
Yeah, I'm curious as well too. You know, with Kristaps Porzingis, obviously, you know, seemingly potentially being ready for game one now as well too. How that will kind of play into it as well. Obviously, pretty much missing the entire playoffs, and talking about obviously, you know, the easy road that the Celtics did have, which again, you know, kind of on paper they did compared to the Mavs in the West. But you know, doing all that without Porzingis, now him back in the mix, that kind of chemistry, which I don't think is going to be much of an issue, is there the whole season within that too. But just kind of getting back into it, I'm curious how he will be ready and kind of perform within that as well too. The one thing that does worry me a little bit about the Celtics, and you kind of said it there, Tate, is their kind of depth. And again, best team in the NBA throughout the season, so obviously they got through it. But it does worry me a little bit when kind of you look on paper, most games, you know, they rely maybe on three guys on the bench and they don't really get much minutes. Peyton Pritchard, for the most part, is the guy that has maybe the most valuable minutes within that as well. And so when you kind of look compared to the Mavs, who have, you know, Maxi Kleber, Derek Lively, obviously kind of coming throughout that as well too, kind of looking at, you know, even Dante Exum, you know, 15 or so minutes a game. So that's something that I think might kind of help them in some essence, which worries me a little bit about the Celtics.
Yeah, I think another point to note here that I'm a little bit curious about is the point differential the whole year, because Boston's been so dominant and they've been blowing teams out of the gym on every other night. It seemed like, I think the point differential last time I checked it, or we talked about at the end of the season, it was some ridiculous like 15 plus points that they won games on average by. And if we look at the flip side of that, with Dallas being such a clutch heavy team, with Luka performing in the clutch, Kyrie performing in the clutch, and them playing so many, a huge percentage of their games in the clutch within the last 5 minutes, and win, having a winning record doing that, maybe one of these games turns into a blowout and we roll into the next one, but these games are going to be close. It's the NBA Finals. So how does Boston respond to those clutch time minutes? Who do they go to? Do they go to the hot hand? Do they play Jason Tatum? You know, one of my main complaints around Jason Tatum is the fact that he settles for some goofy shots sometimes, and they go in, and then everyone's like, "Oh, it was a great shot." But you know, you're that big and you're that good with the ball, you should be getting into the paint, you should be bending the defense, and you should be really making people rotate, kick it out, or go to the line. Those are the things that you're wanting to do late in games. You're not wanting to settle for a step back jumper, you know, a step back midi or something like that. You're wanting to get into the paint. You want to get fouled. And that's something that Luka and Kyrie are absolute savants at doing. So, you know, when these games boil down to clutch time, I give an advantage to Dallas. They have the best player in the series. They have the best clutch record. They have the most clutch experience. So, you know, a lot of people are just saying it's gonna be Celtics, right? And I know that Rod posted on our story. We met up with Lee Ellis over the weekend from No Dunks and the Starters, and Basketball Jones, if any of the old heads out there. But he said that it's probably gonna be Boston, but everyone wants it to be Dallas. And I kind of push back against that. I don't know why it has to be Dallas. I don't know why we're so, or why it has to be Boston. I don't know why we're so set on that and have that idea in our heads. I know they were dominant throughout the year, but the playoffs are different. You don't dominate teams. You're not going to dominate Dallas night in and night out and win each game by 15 plus points. You're going to be in the clutch. You're going to be battling. It's going to be a 1 or 2 point game with a minute and a half, 2 minutes left. Who's going to get to the line? Who's going to be that guy? Because I tell you what, Dallas knows who their guy is.
I was really nice to the Celtics in this first turn that I got. So, you know, screw that. First off, I just want to reiterate for anyone out there who didn't listen, they're in the back. This is Boston's year to lose. So I'm not going to let them off the hook. The pressure is and should be on Boston. Yep. right?
Entirely.
This is the year. This is a sort of like make it or blow it kind of year. You know, the backcourt, or the not backcourt, the duo of Tatum and Brown, it finally has to pay dividends. This is their second trip to the finals. And Tatum said, I think, you know, a couple of days ago that, you know, he doesn't take it for granted and yada, yada, yada. But it's like, dude, you guys have been so consistent in the East, like you should be making multiple trips to the finals, especially this year. You know, I acknowledge it at the beginning, arguably, you know, and, you know, it's the playoffs, obviously, injuries, things happen. I don't want to take credit away from the team in green. But yeah, they had one of the easiest paths to the finals. And if you're Dallas, you're also feeling really good about yourself. I mean, you went through a lot of the really good teams. You went through the Clippers. You went through the Timberwolves, who beat the Nuggets. And no one expected Dallas to beat the Wolves so comfortably, right? I do think, and I stand on that, the one game that the Timberwolves won was because Kyrie and Luka were not shooting well. They had a really poor start to their game. And even then, they brought it back, and Luka missed those two free throws in the clutch, which is rare. You know, he's injured and he was tired. I get it. And on top of that, I think it's a bit of a nightmare for Boston, because there couldn't be any more two guys in the lead that couldn't care less about home advantage than Luka Doncic and Kyrie Irving. Luka has been playing in tougher atmospheres than this in his days in Europe. Like, he's seen actual, you know, crazy fans, like actual hooligans, probably spewing all sorts of things at him. And
as a teenager.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. He played against NBA grown men as a teenager. He was the MVP in Spain and the EuroLeague before he turned 20. So he knows what it is to be under pressure, and he's not gonna, yes, the bright lights are gonna be there, but if there was someone that could lead a team, it's him. And Kyrie, I mean, I gotta give it to him. In the past, I've criticized him for all his off-court shenanigans and statements, but it does seem that he's taking a step forward in being mature, in focusing on basketball, and less so on, not that he's not allowed to, you know, be just have other interests, but at least when it comes to NBA and his job, you know, he really has focused, and he now understands that, you know, he's a great 1A, right? If Luka is struggling a little bit, he can step up to the plate and help out the Mavs when they need it. But when Luka is engaged, he knows he's there to help Luka out. And that's the best Kyrie that we can get, right? That's when I think he also frees himself from a lot of this pressure. And the rest of the Mavs, you know, we mentioned it with the Timberwolves, we mentioned it with the Nuggets. You know, it's so rare to have guys that buy in into the role and say, like, yeah, I'm not the star and I'm nowhere close to be, but this is my role and I will do it very well. With the Celtics, you know, there's a little bit more of, if not ego, at least, you know, they know what they're good at. And I do think there's something between Tatum and Brown that we don't know whose team it is, right? Jaylen Brown got finals MVP for the Eastern Conference Finals MVP. And I don't know if you're Jason Tatum as happy as you are, but this is what's supposed to be your team, dude. And you got Jaylen, no lefty Brown, you know, winning it all. Like, come on. And yes, I'm sitting here, you know, some sort of dispute between the two of them. And I don't care. Screw Boston.
Jaylen Brown becomes the highest paid player on that roster next year. Cresting Jason Tatum's contract by a cool $15 million per year. So, you know, maybe some questions there, but they're also about 20 to 25 million above the salary cap, counting only just their starting five. So, like you said, lots of pressure on this team to perform. The expectation is championship. There's nothing else. It's not, well, we got to the finals, it was a great year, we regrouped. No, this is a championship year. You need to win this one because you have the best roster. You have a historically good offense throughout the season. You have the best starting five in the league. You have the best defensive core in the league. So it's time to perform. I feel like I'm being really negative on Boston just because, you know, just because the expectation, excuse me, is on them. But Dallas missed the playoffs last year, right? The year before that, they were in the conference finals. I get it. But they missed the playoffs last year. They got clowned hard for the Kyrie trade. No one thought that backcourt was going to work. They got clowned heavy, ESPN D-minus on the Daniel Gafford and PJ Washington trades. So this is a team that has kind of found some steam at the right time. Obviously, they're ultra reliant on Luka Doncic, which works because he's one of the three best players in the NBA, in the world. But yeah, I don't know. I agree with you. This is Boston's to lose. They have to win this one. And if they do lose it, it poses a lot of questions for next season. Did we lose because of depth? Because we have no money to spend? We're $25 million in the tax. We're about to hit the repeater. The repeater vaults the luxury tax, an insane amount. I don't even remember off the new CBA. I can't read it. It's a different language, I feel like. But yeah, I don't know. I'm excited to see how it shakes out. Game one in Boston. You know, Kyrie's waiting for that. You know, he's itching. You know, the Boston crowd's itching to get at him. You know, Luka loves playing in a hostile environment. Let's see how Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown respond to that pressure. Jaylen Brown's going up to $49 million a year next year. Let's see him earn it.
Yeah. And the last thing I just want to add on that, too, and I think you said it well, Tay, that when you kind of look at going into next season, regardless of what happens in this NBA Finals, regardless of which team wins, I think if the Celtics definitely have more to lose, because like you said, you know, everyone expects them to win, but consistently year after year, you know, most times they're, you know, well, obviously within the top in the Eastern Conference, or last year Eastern Conference Finals, you know, not long ago in the NBA Finals within that as well, too, and continuing to quote unquote underperform or not get it done, I guess, in the big games when it comes to that as well, too. And, you know, if they were to lose this series, yeah, I think you kind of question what's next. How do we reorganize this roster to go forward? And Jason Tatum's going to stay. You know, I think if anything were to break up the duo, it's going to be Jaylen Brown, even with the contract. I mean, Jason Tatum is the franchise. He's the future, or is the franchise player for the Boston Celtics. The Mavs, on the other hand, if they were to lose again, I don't think many people expected him to be here. Not that they didn't think they had the talent, but just didn't expect it to happen. And I think with the pieces they have, they are set for next season as well, too, to be a contender. I mean, with the pieces they made at the deadline and what that looks like, too. So definitely it's a big kind of series for the Celtics for sure.
It does feel a little bit like, you know, that Heat Mavs finals, you know, not that the Mavs didn't have anyone on that team, but, you know, it does feel like, you know, the star power is definitely on the Celtics side. Again, not that Dallas doesn't have any help, but, you know, again, on paper, they should be Boston series. But Blake, I know you said Dallas in five, you said?
Dallas in seven.
Dallas in seven, sorry.
Winning
sorry.
In game seven, yeah.
Yes. Tay, you said five or six. I'm also going to go. I'm going to go with Dallas in six. I think, you know, they still won in Boston. I don't think game one, just because, you know, it'll be that, you know, finals jitters from the rest of the cast. But then game two, I see them, and I predict this already. They're going to steal that, and the Garden won't know what it hit them. And Luka's going to go throwing F-bombs. He's going to pick someone in the crowd that looked at him the wrong way when he entered the arena. He's going to be like, you are my inspiration for today. Poor man coming out of the turnpike or whatever in Boston, and be like, what did I do? You know, he's going to be the inspiration. And after that, they win two in Dallas. They come back. Boston lives another day, and they win at home.
Don't sit next to Snoop Dogg, man. He got clapped by Luka, and then he got laughed at by Snoop Dogg. That's gotta be number one on the all-time misplays of his life, probably.
Now you got Marky Mark gonna be front court now.
Oh God, no.
Yep, he is. He'll be there.
I think Dallas takes game one. I think they walk into Boston on Thursday and they steal that game. I think Dallas is ready for this moment. I think they've got an incredible leader in Luka and Kyrie. Kyrie, we haven't even really talked about how he's rehabilitated his image, rehabilitated his career. A lot of people thought he was halfway out the league and no team was going to be crazy enough to sign him. People clowned the Mavericks and Mark Cuban for making that trade and giving up what they thought was going to be the future of the franchise after Luka inevitably left because he was so frustrated that they couldn't make the finals, and here they are, right? So I think that team is going to be ready for the finals. You know, they've got the championship experience, obviously, with Kyrie, but Luka, like, you said it right. Like his career up to this point, it's all been leading up to this point. This isn't the first finals that he's played in. This isn't the first championship he maybe could win. This, you know, he's won finals MVPs as a 17-year-old. He's won a championship as a 17-year-old. He played against Russell Westbrook as a 17-year-old. Like, he has been ready for this moment. I think we're all, as basketball fans, maybe not Boston fans, but I think as basketball fans, we're all really excited to see how Luka performs. He's dropping otherworldly numbers throughout the season, throughout the playoffs, but I expect him to take it up a notch for the finals here.
I do want to say in the chat, Leo has the Mavs in four as well, too. That's his prediction.
Is this how you guys felt when I said Lakers over Nuggets? Like, you know, just delusional? I think so, right?
A little bit. A little bit. I think we're all a little bit. I think it's a little wishful thinking. You know, Noah, I mean, if you don't have skin in the game, like, you know, obviously I'm a Blazers fan. If you don't have skin in the game, you always want to root for the underdog, because the underdog winning is a lot more fun than just bandwagoning on the number one team. Yep. So, I no disrespect to any Celtics fans. If we happen to have any Celtics fans,
disrespect.
We have a Celtics fan. I'll get his feedback after this goes live to see what he says about this. So,
wait, you know them?
It's a buddy of mine who lived together. We're good friends from New Hampshire. So diehard Celtics fan as well too. So he tunes into the podcast.
Does he want to come to Dropping Knives next time and, you know,
some defend his honor?
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, Celtics fans welcome to be made fun of, but still welcome.
I think that if I were to make a realistic pick, I would probably do Boston in six. But my hope and my dream for this is Mavs in seven. I want to see a seven-game series regardless. Everyone likes a final seven-game series. Last year, we got kind of robbed with the five games and a bit of a cakewalk for the Nuggets. I don't know, man. I'm excited for this. I can't believe, like, they both walked through their conference finals, and we got a week-long break of basketball. The Nike social media person said 1 week with no basketball, totally disregarding the WNBA, acting like it didn't exist.
That was such an oversight. Such an oversight. And, you know, I really want us to discuss WNBA, you know, after the finals, because it's been, I mean, we've all watched it, but, you know, if there's ever a time and because a point in time to discuss it, it's definitely this season for sure.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Before we move on to recap our special guest that was Lee Ellis over the past weekend, I'm just going to steal a page out of Winning Time just to say goodbye to this segment and say, take a breath. Now repeat after me. Fuck Boston. Shout out to Winning Time.
Well, shout out to the new show that comes out today, Tuesday the 4th, the Clipped show, about the the Clippers and the Donald Sterling drama when he was outed as being a pretty disgusting racist and was forced to sell the team. So I'm probably going to boot that up after this. I need a little NBA fix.
And there's a great mini series by Jackie McMullen around when all this happened. She did, and with real interviews and everything, you know, it's fantastic. So as prep to the show, I would suggest listening to Jackie McMullen. I forgot the name. I'll try to post it on our group. And then if anyone's curious, because it's the real thing, but the dramatized version, I'm sure it's going to be amazing. But the real thing, and, you know, how she tells it, the storytelling is fantastic. And just some of the things from the interviews are they're jaw dropping. It's the things that man said about the players. It's just like, oh my goodness, you know, what was going through his mind, if anything.
I don't think there's anything in that dude's brain, honestly.
Agreed.
Just bigotry and hate, I guess. But maybe throw that link up on our socials so everyone can access that. And if you don't know, if you don't know about the Clipped series, I think that's a Hulu show in America. I think it's probably Crave in Canada. I haven't really looked into it yet, but about what we're talking about, the Donald Sterling drama, when he was forced to sell the team. It's obviously a dramatization, but I did see a cast list came out. They've, you know, cast someone as Chris Paul, cast someone as Blake Griffin, cast someone as Doc Rivers. So it should be pretty fun. Mm-hmm. I'm excited. There are so many like cool NBA world shows that are coming out, or that have been coming out. Obviously, Winning Time, like you were talking about. It's a fun time to be a basketball fan.
Definitely.
And I found it here. And my apologies. It wasn't Jackie McLaurin. It was Ramona Shelburne, and it's called
Okay.
That Tape. I will definitely throw it up on our socials. And for you fellas, it's right here. It's a 30 for 30 podcast. Fantastic. And I would highly recommend listening to this before watching the show, because adding the actors and all that'll be awesome. Anyways, Tay, you already mentioned it. We had a very special guest in Vancouver last Friday, Mr. 2020, formerly known as the International Man of Mystery, Lee Ellis, former host of No Dunks, of the Starters, of the Basketball Jones back in the day. And in his new project, the Pickup Tour, as he now calls it, he made a stop here in Vancouver, and we help him organize a run at Kitsilano Beach, the legendary court at Kitsilano Beach. And it was great, honestly. First of all, shout out to everyone that made it. Shout out to everyone that messaged us but couldn't make it. It was right after work, and it was a nice day. So, I know that people tried, but they couldn't get to Kitsilano at that time. But everyone that showed up, it was awesome just to see people getting to talk to Lee, and Lee himself, such a cool dude, honestly. I had the chance to travel with him in Mexico City, but Tay, you got a chance to talk to him, and what were your thoughts? What do you think about him?
I mean, he comes across just as he does in the podcast, very down to earth, very knowledgeable basketball. But what really struck me that gave me a lot of respect for him was his emphasis on community building, right? And especially when we talk about maybe the basketball scene in Vancouver, I know probably the majority of our listeners are local to BC. We don't get a lot of respect around here, but we got some really good hoopers. And you can go down to, Metro League, or you go down to, well, the Union is closed, rest in peace, one of the best
R.I.P.
one of the best pickup gyms in the city. It only lasted 2 years. But you go down to any of these leagues and see some real good talent, and it's nice to see someone respect it and want to uplift that and use their platform to shine some light on it. And he took time. I watched him, and he took time with every person that would stop by and want to talk to him. And you can really see the impact that him and that show has had on basketball fans, especially the local ones. It was a really great show out. But thank you to everyone for coming out. And like Rod said, thank you for messaging us. If you weren't able to make it, we do love when you guys message us on the socials. So please keep that up. But I think we probably had 40, 50 some odd people there at one point. So we had
Yeah,
both courts
that's
going.
awesome.
Yeah,
It was,
it was awesome. We got a couple
yeah.
very solid plays from Lee, which was fun. A couple of pick and pops and nice backdoor cuts. And we got Joey, the King Handles, winning the half court shot, not once but twice, as if everyone knew he was probably one of the best hoopers in the city. So I guess he had to come out and defend his title a little bit. But overall, it was a really fun event. Shout out to Rod for setting that up. I know that you went down to Mexico with him, and it was a big initiative for you to want to bring him up here. And like I was saying, uplift the basketball community here, which you tend to do a lot. Obviously, very, very heavily involved with Night Hoops and a number of other things around the basketball community here. So thank you, Rod, for setting that up and getting everyone together and creating helping to facilitate a really fun afternoon.
Oh man, I didn't expect to get a little bit emotional. I'm not gonna lie. Thank you, Tay. Thank you, Tay. But shout out to everyone that showed up. And Lee, honestly, big kudos to him. He's gonna be on the pod. He's right now in Tokyo and around Japan visiting, but he's gonna be back. And as soon as he's got some time, we're gonna set something up to talk about both and the trip to Mexico and obviously a lot more in Vancouver, his time here, and just to. It is so cool that he gets to now travel the world and experience culture through basketball. That was one of the, everyone was asking him, and it's a popular question. I don't blame anyone for asking him. I asked him this in Mexico City. What is the best place that you've played at? And for him, he tells you it's impossible for him to pick one place because every place is just unique and special in their own way, right? Whether it's the backdrop or, something special about the court, or the actual people. For him, the thing that he kept on repeating, like, it is the relationships that you create. Maybe you don't speak the language, maybe you do, but you know, you don't get to create that connection other than playing with each other, right? And Tay mentioned it, there were a couple of very solid plays, and it just comes from that universal language of basketball that we all adore. Mm-hmm. And it is very special to see him, you know, going through the cities and leaving his mark mm-hmm. in the community, and for us to, you know, continue fostering it. You know, that's one of the main things, and that all three, four, six of us in the crew, you know, we're all in for it. You know, we want to, that's how we share our love for the game, whether that's through the pod, through a summer tournament with friends, through, you know, bringing Lee Ellis to your city. We told him about Kentucky. Blake, don't you worry.
We'd love to have him down here.
He said he wants to go and to a Wildcats game. So,
you know, there's a great pickup court right near Rupp Arena too. So there's a great there spot we go. For it. Always hooping there. Yeah.
We have to make it happen for him as well. So, no, again, thanks to everyone that showed up. To you guys for all the support, because you know, I know I was messaging you all back and forth, like, this is happening, I need your help with this. So shout out to you guys for, you know, expanding the love for the game and making the community better through basketball.
Yeah, aren't we nice? I always like telling people that basketball is a language. It yeah. doesn't matter what language you speak, anywhere you are in the world, if you want to hoop, you can walk down to a court, or you can find a court and you can walk onto that court and you can get into a game not saying a single word, and you can meet friends and you can connect with people and you can get to know people without ever saying an actual word. You know, I've played basketball in the Philippines. I've played basketball in Japan. I've played basketball in Mexico. I've played basketball all over the world, and it's just that simple. I had an itch to scratch. I had an afternoon to kill. Wanted to walk down. I pull up my phone, I Google basketball court, I look at the pictures to make sure it's a nice basketball court, at least, you know, a little nice, and walk down, and sure enough, there's at least one person there that's gonna want to shoot around, and people love to connect, especially on shared interests and things that they mutually love. So I think that's you know, it's beautiful, and it's an incredible opportunity that he gets to travel the world with his family. We got to meet his wife and his two kids, and you know, his kids are so excited to go straight to Japan, and they're telling me about all the Pokemon that they're going to go and catch. So, I mean, it seems like a really cool opportunity to be able to share that with your family, you know, go and spread the basketball gospel and create these connections around the world that will last a lifetime, and it'll build his brand. But I don't think he's really focused on that. I think he's wanting to share the love and create new experiences, and I really felt that when he came through, he was so focused on talking to everyone and connecting with people and making people feel heard. And I think that's, you know, not just when we talk about basketball or anything, but I think in life that's incredibly important, right? You want to make people feel comfortable, you want to make people feel seen and heard and respected, and lead to just that. And you know, like I said, basketball is a language, and a lot of those things translate onto the floor as well. You might not say a word to someone, but you know you've earned their respect, or you know that you know you've got a little mutual love between them, and you know that if you see them on the street, even though it's a foreign country, hey, that was I hit you with that backdoor pass or whatever, right? Or you busted my ankles or something like that. You know, it's something that people who don't play basketball or you know, maybe don't play sports never really get to experience, is the camaraderie and the bonding that happens. So I think the opportunity to go around the world and foster that is a pretty beautiful thing. And I felt incredibly honored to be a part of that. It was fun.
Yeah. And I love to just, obviously, I know, obviously I'm not there in Vancouver, so I wasn't able to be a part of it, but just loved seeing just the photos and, you know, hearing it, you know, now from you guys as well too. And just not only your takeaways, but just how much it meant to the community there, you know, in Vancouver as well, to just to be a part of that and to uplift it, and for people to meet someone like Lee, and for him to kind of see, you know, that aspect in Vancouver as well too, is awesome. And, you know, I love just, you know, what he's doing, you know, as well too, especially like highlighting, you know, basketball in other countries that he goes to when he plays the pickup ball, just in terms of the courts and the kind of the people there as well too, because I think for some people, you know, we all, you know, a lot of us, you know, we love basketball through that too, but you know, sometimes you may not know, you know, what's out there across, you know, across the world too, in terms of the style of basketball, or in terms of the way they do it, or just, you know, how popular basketball is, right? right? And it's not that it's something for people that they don't want to know. It's just maybe they're not exposed to it. And I think just the platform that he's been doing in terms of his reels and things like that, just kind of sharing those types of videos and his experiences, like, goes a long way for many people to see just like the scope of that, right? And just, you know, the building of the communities over there and what that's like as well too. And to know that, hey, you know, like Tay said, like if I'm traveling and I want to play pickup basketball, like, you know, you can easily, you know, kind of blend into that and enjoy what you love doing and make new friends and people along the way as well too. So, you know, I hope, you know, whenever he's hopefully able to join the pod in the future, I'd love to hear from him to see if, you know, maybe he has thoughts of writing a book one day, you know, just about his experiences in terms of all these countries he's been to in the pickup basketball. Cause I think that would be really cool just to kind of hear his thoughts around the, you know, many countries he's been to and his experiences throughout all that.
I mean, and if he didn't, you know, were you going to pitch it to him? All right, fellas. Well, before I do our outro here, also shout out to Buckets and Borders, shout out to the Hoops Audit and King Handles for all the support. And again, everyone that showed up. But again, and Lee, of course, we'll have him as a guest that I'm not worried about. So we'll be able to spend a lot more time with him. All right. As always, make sure that you're following us on social media, on Instagram, at dropping.dimes. If you want to get a hold of us, you know, just send us a DM. We always, always reply. We're curious to hear your takes, or, you know, even if you disagree with us, let us know. It's fine to be a Celtics fan. We, you know, we just roast you on, you know, unrelentlessly, but that's fine. It's part of the game. Make sure that you check out our website for past episodes and other things, www.dropping-dimes.com. If you want to send us an email, contact@dropping-dimes.com. Until next time, this is Dropping Dimes crew signing off. Peace, love, basketball. Adios.
Adios, amigos.